Shalom. I'm Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and we welcome you to the weekly yeshiva teaching. The weekly yeshiva teaching is free, and we would encourage you to make it available to all your friends and family. You can do so by going to the website of Hebraic Heritage Ministries, located at www.hebroots.org, and click on the link, Eddie's Weekly Yeshiva Teaching. The teaching is in MP3 format, and you can subscribe to receive it through an RSS feed, wherein it will be automatically downloaded to your iTunes, and from there you could transfer it to your iPod or your iPhone. You can listen to the teaching at the ministry's website, or you can download it to your computer and listen to it at your own convenience. The purpose of the teaching is to help you to be rooted and grounded in understanding the Hebraic roots of Christianity. When we're studying the Hebraic roots of Christianity, we must remember to keep everything centered on Yeshua the Messiah. That is because it is written in Psalm chapter 40 and verse 7, "Then said I, Lo I come, in the volume of the book, it is written of me." That verse is quoted of Yeshua in Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 7. Then Yeshua himself stated in Luke chapter 24 verse 44, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the Torah of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Yeshua told us that the Hebrew scriptures are written of him, and that the Torah is written of him. In understanding how the Torah is written of Yeshua, we need to realize that it is Yeshua who gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. And by understanding that Yeshua is the one who saves his people from their sins, and that Yeshua is our Savior, we can cross-reference several New Testament passages to see how Yeshua gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. In Matthew, in chapter 1, in verse 21, it is written, "And she," meaning Mary, "shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name in Hebrew Yeshua," which means salvation. Why? Because the verse goes on to say, "He will save his people from their sins." Then, in Luke chapter 2, in verse 11, it is written, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So, realizing that Yeshua is the one that saves his people from their sins, and that Yeshua is our Savior, now we can look at James chapter 4 and verse 12, and at the beginning of the verse it says, "There is one lawgiver who is able to save." The one that is able to save, who is Yeshua, is the one that saves his people from their sins. And in this session, we are going to look at the biblical Sabbath. We are going to look at the history of the Sabbath within early Christianity. We're going to see how the Sabbath is a festival of Yahweh. We are going to see how the early believers in Yeshua as the Messiah, both Jew and non-Jew, celebrated the biblical Sabbath, which is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. And then we're going to see how this practice got changed by non-Jewish believers in Yeshua as the Messiah in the early part of Christianity. We are also going to examine the influence of Constantine, who was a Roman emperor, in mandating that believers in Yeshua as the Messiah not celebrate the biblical Sabbath, but instead express their faith in Yeshua on Sunday. And in the Roman Empire, Sunday was the day of worshiping the sun god. And even though the Roman Empire had many religions, one of the primary religions was Mithraism, which was sun worship. And the day of the worship of the sun was Sunday. And the birthday of the sun god was December 25th. So in effect, what Constantine did is he took the practice of sun worship and Christianized it. And this is what he mandated throughout the Roman Empire for those who believed in Yeshua as the Messiah, how they were then to celebrate their faith in him. In effect, changing the biblical Sabbath to Sunday. And then we are going to look at the phrase the first day of the week in the New Testament and see how actually this is a reference to the biblical Sabbath. So let's begin our study and let's look at Leviticus in chapter 23 and verse 2. It is written, "Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them concerning the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. Even these are my feasts." And Leviticus chapter 23, mentioning the biblical festivals, the very first one that is mentioned is the weekly Sabbath. The weekly Sabbath is a biblical festival. In Leviticus chapter 23:3, it is written, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is a Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. In looking at this word feast in Leviticus chapter 23 in verse 2, it is the Hebrew word moed, which is the Strong's number 4150 in the Strong's Hebrew Dictionary. And moed means an appointed time. So the weekly Sabbath is an appointed time of the God of Israel, which he commands those who believe on him to celebrate. And this is how the weekly Sabbath is a festival of Yeshua. Yeshua kept the biblical Sabbath. In Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, it is written, "And Yeshua taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was," meaning he did it on a regular basis, "he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read." In Luke chapter 4, verse 31, "And he came to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he taught them on the Sabbath days." The early believers in Yeshua as the Messiah kept the Sabbath, as we can see in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 13, verses 13 through 15, it is written, "Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch. And they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the Torah and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, You men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue," this is Acts chapter 13, verse 42, "the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath." So we can see that in the synagogue, there were Jews and non-Jews keeping the biblical Sabbath. Acts chapter 13, verse 44. "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God." Acts chapter 14 and verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks or non-Jews, believed. Then in Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 4. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Yeshua, whom I preach unto you, is Messiah. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. Acts chapter 15, verse 19. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned, or are turning to God. And regarding the Gentiles that are turning to God, Acts chapter 15, verse 21, it is said, for Moses of old time has in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. So we can see from Acts chapter 13, Acts chapter 14, Acts chapter 15, Acts chapter 17, that in the synagogue there were both Jews and non-Jews that were keeping the biblical Sabbath, and there Paul went into those synagogues and he proclaimed Yeshua being the Messiah out of the Hebrew Scriptures. Acts chapter 18. After these things Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks in the synagogue every Sabbath. Acts chapter 18, verse 11. And he continued there 1 year and 6 months, teaching the word of God, that is the Torah, among them. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. Acts chapter 19, verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for a space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 19, verse 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Yeshua, both Jews and Greeks, or non-Jews. So we can see then Acts chapter 13, Acts chapter 14, Acts chapter 15, Acts chapter 17, Acts chapter 18, Acts chapter 19. We have an account where Paul is ministering and he is in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and there are both Jews and non-Jews who are there keeping the biblical Sabbath. Next, we're going to look at the article on the Sabbath from the Wikipedia Encyclopedia, and it says, in both Judaism and Christianity, the Sabbath is a religious day of rest that occurs on the seventh day of the week, Saturday. The first Christians were Jews and proselytes, that are non-Jews who believed in Yeshua, and it is assumed without much controversy that there is biblical evidence that they honored the Sabbath from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. Now, we just shared with you this from the book of Acts. This would have continued at least until the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed in the year 70. There is evidence that some Gentile Christians also continued to celebrate the Sabbath many centuries into the Christian era. In the history of the Sabbath from the Wikipedia Encyclopedia, it explains, the apostolic constitutions generally dated in the 4th century and found in the Ante-Nicene Fathers, that is before the Nicene Fathers. In their collection, they say that the Sabbath should be observed by resting and studying the Torah. It is known that Gentile Christians sometimes openly observe the seventh-day Sabbath in conjunction with first-day Sunday worship because the Council of Laodicea around 365 attempted to put a stop to observing the biblical Sabbath. Therefore, we can see historically that prior to the Laodicean Council, that the biblical Sabbath was observed. But after the Laodicean Council, Saturday observance was forbidden. This is often considered an attempt of the early, primarily non-Jewish Christian believers to distance themselves from Judaism and distance themselves from following the Torah. Now, in the book of Daniel, in Daniel in chapter 7, it is prophesied that there would be one who would come who would change times and seasons. Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions in his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Daniel chapter 7, verse 7. After this I saw in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Daniel chapter 7, verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, in the visions of my head troubled me. Daniel chapter 7, verses 16 and 17. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. Daniel chapter 7, verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. Daniel chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. In the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and he will think to change times and seasons. So one of the people historically who ended up changing the appointed times and seasons of the God of Israel that is spoken of in Leviticus chapter 23 was the Roman Emperor Constantine. And regarding Constantine, he lived from the year 272 to 337. This is Constantine the First, and he was proclaimed Augustus by his troops in the year 306. And he ruled an ever-growing portion of the Roman Empire to his death. By taking the personal step of calling a meeting of the Council of Nicaea in the year 325, Constantine began the Roman Empire's unofficial sponsorship of Christianity, which was a major factor in that religion's spread. His reputation as the first Christian emperor was spread by Lactantius and Eusebius, gaining ground in the succeeding generations. From the Wikipedia Encyclopedia, it explains how Constantine declared Sunday as the day of rest. Let all judges and all city people and all tradesmen rest upon the venerable day of the sun, the day of the celebration of sun worship. But let those dwelling in the country freely and with full liberty attend to the culture of their fields, since it frequently happens that no other day is so fit for the sowing of grain or the planting of vines. Hence, the favorable time should not be allowed to pass, lest the provisions of heaven be lost. Given the 7th of March, Crispus and Constantine being consuls, each for the second time in the year 321. Although this does not indicate a change of the Sabbath, it does favor a different day of rest, for in the cities at least, over the biblical Sabbath day. The dominant religions in the regions of the world where Christianity was developing were pagan, and in Rome, Mithraism, specifically the cult of the sun, had taken hold, and Mithraism met on Sunday. Continuing in the Wikipedia Encyclopedia, where it explains that there were 59 decrees of the Council of Laodicea in the year 365 as part of the Nicene and Post-Nicene Fathers collection. And decree number 29 says, Christians must not Judaize by resting on the biblical Sabbath, but must work that day, and then, if possible, rest on Sunday, which they're calling the Lord's Day. And if any found to be Judaizers, that they are against Christ. Continuing in the Wikipedia Encyclopedia, in the 5th century, Socrates' Church History Book 5 states, nor is there less variation in regard to religious assemblies. For although almost all churches throughout the world celebrate the sacred mysteries on the Sabbath of every week, yet the Christians of Alexandria and at Rome, on account of some ancient tradition, have ceased to do this. Also, in the 5th century, Sozomen, Church History Book 7 states, assemblies are not held in all churches on the same time or manner. The people of Constantinople and almost everywhere assemble together on the Sabbath, as well as the first day of the week, which custom is never observed at Rome or at Alexandria. Eastern Orthodox churches distinguish between the Sabbath, Saturday, the biblical Sabbath, and what they call the Lord's Day, Sunday. Catholics put little emphasis on that distinction, and most of them, at least in colloquial language, speak of Sunday as the Sabbath. This is the Catechism of the Holy Catholic Church on the Sabbath. Many Protestants have historically regarded the Lord's Day, the Sabbath, and Sunday as synonymous terms for the Christian day of worship, except in those languages in which the name of the seventh day is literally equivalent to Sabbath, such as Spanish, where Saturday is Sabado, which means Sabbath, in addition to Italian, Russian, Modern Greek, and Hebrew. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that the early church met on Sunday, according to the authority set by the Roman Catholic Church, and not on the basis of any scriptural mandate to do so. Keenan's Doctrinal Catechism, a Catholic catechism, declares that there is no scriptural basis for first day or Sunday observance. Question: have you any other way of proving that the Roman Church has power to institute festivals? Answer: had she not had such power, she could not have instituted one in which all modern religionists agree with her. She could not have substituted the observance of Sunday, the first day of the week, for the observance of Saturday, the seventh day of the week, the change for which there is no scriptural authority. In the Wikipedia Encyclopedia, it admits, we will now quote from you from sources where Roman Catholicism admits that they change the biblical Sabbath from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown to Sunday. Other Roman Catholic sources can be cited to show that, according to the Catholic Church, there is no scriptural basis for neglecting Saturday observance. From the Catholic Virginian, October 3, 1947, Nowhere in the Bible do we find Jesus or the apostles ordered that the Sabbath be changed from Saturday to Sunday. We have the commandment of God given to Moses to keep holy the Sabbath day, that is, the seventh day of the week, Saturday. Today, most Christians keep Sunday because it has been revealed to us by the Roman Church outside the Bible. Let's see how that in the King James translation of the Bible, that there is a hiding of the biblical Sabbath and its celebration. And we are going to look at the occurrences of the phrase, the first day of the week. To begin with, we review Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1, where it says in the King James, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher," or the tomb. And here, where we have the word Sabbath, it is the Strong's number 4521. And in the Strong's Greek dictionary, the word is sabbaton. And it says it's of Hebrew origin. In other words, there's not an original Greek word, that the word comes from the Hebrew. And of the 37 times that this word appears in the New Testament, 22 times it is translated as Sabbath, 9 times it is translated as week. And those occurrences is where we find the phrase first day of the week. So in Matthew chapter 28 verse 1, where it says at the end of the Sabbath, the word Sabbath is sabbaton. But then where it says the first day of the week, the word week is the Strong's number 4521. It is also the Greek word sabbaton. So in Matthew chapter 28 verse 1, we have two occurrences of the Greek word sabbaton, which comes from the Hebrew, and in one instance it is translated as Sabbath, and in the other instance it is translated as week, given the impression that we are referring to Sunday. Now, Mark chapter 16 verse 2, it is written, "And very early in the morning, the first day of the week." Once again, this word week is the Strong's number 4521 in the Strong's Greek dictionary, and it is the word sabbaton, which comes from the Hebrew Sabbath. And this phrase, first day of the week, the word day is in italics, which means it is not in the Greek text. And the word first is the Strong's number 3391, and it is the Greek word mia. It occurs 70 times in the New Testament. 62 times it is translated as one, meaning only one. And 8 times it's translated as first. So you could read this very early in the morning, the one of the week. Now, following the celebration of Passover, and given that Yeshua died on Passover, in Leviticus chapter 23, it says that you are to begin a counting of 7 weeks. So this event in Mark chapter 16, verse 2, it is taking place the first of the counting of those weeks. The one of the Sabbath is what the text literally says. Mark chapter 16, verse 9. "Now when Yeshua was risen early, the first day of the week." Once again, the word day is in italics. So all that we have here is the phrase first of the week. And the word week is the Strong's number 4521. And it is the Greek word sabbaton, which comes from the Hebrew Sabbath. So this could be translated the first of the Sabbath, or the beginning of the Sabbath. Luke chapter 24 verse 1. "Now upon the first day of the week, Here again, the word day is in italics, which means that it is not in the Greek text. And the word first is the Greek word mia, one of the 8 times where the Greek word mia is translated as first, as in the phrase first day of the week, rather than the other 62 times where it's translated as one. And so it is the one of the Sabbath, is how you can literally translate the phrase. Then, John chapter 20, verse 1, the first day of the week comes Mary Magdalene. The word day is in italics. The word first is the Greek word mia. The word week is the Strong's number 4521, the Greek word sabbaton, the Hebrew Sabbath. John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. The word day is in italics. It's not in the text. The word first is the Greek word mia, the Strong's number 3391. The word week is the Strong's number 4521. It is a Greek word sabbaton, which comes from the Hebrew Sabbath. So now we've shared with you 6 occurrences of the phrase first day of the week. And this phrase is associated with the resurrection of the Messiah to give the reader the impression that Yeshua's resurrection took place early on Sunday morning. But in looking at this phrase, the first day of the week, the word day is in italics, it's not in the text. So the text says the first. And on several of these phrases, the word first is the Greek word mia, which means one or only one, the one of the week. And the word that is translated week, the Strong's number 4521, is translated 22 times in the New Testament as Sabbath. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, when it says Yeshua went into the synagogue on the Sabbath, that is the Greek word sabbaton. So you could translate these phrases, first day of the week, as the first of the Sabbath. Or you could translate it as the period of time of the first of the 7 weeks of the counting of the Omer, which you are instructed to do between Passover and the celebration of the Feast of Weeks, or Shavuot. This instruction comes in Leviticus in chapter 23. Now we're going to look at Acts chapter 20, verse 7, where it is written, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. So this is an occurrence where it seems to give an understanding that here the early believers are celebrating Sunday. But the word day is in italics. The word week, the Strong's number 4521, is the same Greek word that's translated 22 times as the Sabbath. And the word first is the Greek word mia. Next, we're going to look at another occurrence of the phrase the first day of the week from 1 Corinthians in chapter 16 in verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. The word day is in italics. It's not in the text. The word week is the Strong's number 4521. It is the Greek word sabbaton, which comes from the Hebrew Sabbath. And 22 times that word is translated as Sabbath in the New Testament, including Luke chapter 4, verse 16, where it says Yeshua went into the synagogue on the Sabbath. And so we have 2 occurrences, one in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, the second in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, where the translation, that is the King James translation, gives the impression that there is a gathering together by early believers in Yeshua on Sunday. But given that this phrase, first day of the week, that day is italics, and week can be translated as Sabbath, the impression comes from the translation. So now, in looking at the occurrences of the phrase first day of the week in the New Testament, we find this phrase associated with the account of Yeshua's resurrection, and also twice where it seems like there's a gathering in a meeting of believers to give the impression that Yeshua resurrected on Sunday and that early believers were gathering together on Sunday. However, we saw that in the book of Acts, consistently in Acts chapter 13, 14, 15, 17, 18, 19, that as Paul traveled around in the synagogues, that both Jewish and non-Jewish believers are celebrating the biblical Sabbath. And Paul is teaching in the synagogues on the biblical Sabbath. And in the synagogues, they are having a traditional Sabbath service wherein they read from the Torah and the prophets. The celebration of the biblical Sabbath is commanded in Leviticus in chapter 23. It is a festival of the Lord. And the word festival means an appointed time. It's the Hebrew word moed. And it says in Leviticus chapter 23 that these are His feasts, which He commanded us to keep. And Yeshua is Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, it says, no one can say that Yeshua is Lord or that Yeshua is Yahweh except by the Holy Spirit. And then in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, it tells us that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Yeshua HaMashiach is Lord or Yahweh to the glory of God the Father. So in our study, we see that Yeshua, in giving the Torah, He's the lawgiver, that He commanded in Leviticus chapter 23 that His people are to keep His Sabbath, and that Yeshua kept the Sabbath, as was His custom, Luke chapter 4, verse 16. His disciples, in following after the leadership of Yeshua, kept the biblical Sabbath. The early believers in the book of Acts kept the biblical Sabbath. We have an historical account that early believers in the eastern part of the Roman Empire for several hundred years kept the biblical Sabbath, but it was the believers in the western part of the Roman Empire that they first began on a more corporate basis to depart from keeping the biblical Sabbath, which is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, but instead started worshiping on Sunday, which is the day of the worship of the sun god in the religion of Mithraism. Then we saw that it was prophesied in the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 7, that there would be a fourth beast that would arise from Daniel's vision of four different beasts. And there would be one who would arise of this fourth beast who would change times and seasons. And then Constantine, when he came to power, he called a number of assemblies. And one of them, the Council of Nicaea, he then decreed that those who believe in Yeshua as the Messiah, that within the Roman Empire, that they would cease keeping the biblical Sabbath. So from these things, we can see how the biblical Sabbath was changed from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown to Sunday. And this tradition has been passed down to us for the past 1700 years, first through Roman Catholicism and then through the Protestant Church in the last 500 years. And it is in our days, in our times, through the ministry of Elijah, who we're told about in Malachi chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, where we see the message of Elijah in Malachi 4:4 is, remember the Torah of Moses. And then in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Yeshua was asked in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 10, why is it taught that Elijah must come first, or Elijah must precede the coming of the Messiah? And Yeshua went on to explain that Elijah truly shall first come, and his ministry is to restore all things. And one of the things that the ministry of Elijah will restore is the celebrating of the biblical Sabbath, when we realize that Yeshua gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. And then Yeshua himself said that the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And so we celebrate Sabbath not only when we rest in Yeshua on the day that he commanded us to do so, Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, but we also rest in him when we put our faith and trust in him and we believe the promises that he made to us. Now, remember that Hebraic Heritage Ministries is supported by your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. And if these teachings are a blessing to you, we would encourage you to be a partner with Hebraic Heritage Ministries. You can do so by writing to the ministry's address, Hebraic Heritage Ministries, Post Office Box 81, Strasburg, Ohio. The zip code is 44680. And Strasburg is spelled Strasburg. Hebraic Heritage Ministries has an extensive website to help you to study the Hebraic roots of Christianity. At the website, we have a variety of subjects that are categorized, and there's a tab for each subject. And in that tab, you can find a variety of written articles, as well as audio and video teachings to help you to understand that particular subject. Also, Hebraic Heritage Ministries has a web store where we offer many materials to help you in your studies. And at the web store, you can order books as well as CDs and DVDs to help you in your studies on the Hebraic roots of Christianity. Furthermore, Hebraic Heritage Ministries offers a monthly yeshiva program where you can receive CDs and DVDs to help you to systematically study the Hebraic roots of Christianity. Remember always these words from 1 John in chapter 2 in verse 6. He who says he abides in him, he who says he's a believer in Yeshua as the Messiah, ought himself to walk, that means to live our lives, even as he walked. How did Yeshua walk? How did he live his life? He kept the biblical Sabbath, Luke chapter 4, verse 16. He kept Passover, Luke chapter 22, verse 15. And he followed the Torah of his father. Even so, he commanded those who believe on him in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Until the next yeshiva teaching, Shalom, in Yeshua the Messiah, Amen.